Welcome to Bible Greek B-Pod's audio program. Join us as we look into the book of Exodus.
So the picture that is drawn here in chapter 7 is that Moses is the spokesman for the true God. And he is, in fact, Moses is to be God to Pharaoh, the powerful God-king of Egypt. And it is through these two people, Moses and Aaron, we find the true God will demonstrate his power, even over Egypt, even over the greatest empire that is in this particular period of time in history. So, what power does the great kingdom of Egypt have over the true God of Israel? That's the big question that God is answering through these series of events here. The picture of the first sign is to Pharaoh. And he uses the snake. The cobra represents immortality to the Egyptians. And these tombs that are being built, tombs that are represent immortality for Pharaoh and his kings and his God kings that they have through the death of the Pharaoh. But it is God who controls life and death. And that's what the big point is. Moses' stick, his shepherd's rod, eats the magician's rods, picturing the true God of Israel's power over their occult idea of immortality. And this serves as a picture of our Lord, who is given all authority over life on earth. And through his death, that is Jesus' death and resurrection, he swallowed up death and he conquered the last enemy, death. So in chapter 8, verse 1, we come to the second plague. So here's what it says. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and all of your servants.'" Here we find this is a terrible, terrible picture. And so notice in verse 3, the word abundantly there. Some other translations may have it differently, but this one has abundantly. This word means teeming, like a locust swarm or fish teeming. That's the idea. You get the big picture of a locust swarm or lots and lots of fish that are teeming. And that's how these frogs will be. The frogs will go up to Pharaoh's house and his bedchambers and the whole land. The reference to the bedroom and the bed points to the basic occult meaning of these frogs in Egypt. That is to say, these frogs represent the goddess, the Egyptian goddess, Hagag, a woman with the head of a frog who helps women in childbirth. So that's the god of that they see represented through this frog. And so this infestation of the sacred frog moves everywhere in their lives. Look at verses 5-7. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt, and the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt." So here we have the rod is the instrument used in the hand of Aaron to bring this judgment upon Egypt. So what is up with the magicians? Notice that. They brought up frogs. In verse 7, and the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on a land of Egypt. What's going on with... They also brought up these frogs. There's the word translated enchantments. We saw this word previous, but this is not the same word. The previous time in chapter 7, verse 11, we saw enchantments. That had to do with the flash. And here, the word is in the Hebrew for secrecy or mystery. So here we are definitely dealing with the occult. We're dealing with the demonic and that magical power that has to do with the demonic world. That's what this particular word seems to imply. Where previous in chapter 7, it had to do with sleight of hand. Seems to have done with sleight of hand. So here we have... the magicians doing all of their work, all that they can do to recreate bringing frogs upon the land. It's kind of humorous. Why?
Yeah.
Why do you want more?
Right.
I gather by that they did not anticipate how terrible and horrible it was going to be. And so they created more. But notice, they won't try to get rid of them by their magic.
Yeah.
Look at verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord." So in verse 8, after some time, we don't know how long it's been, the frogs became so bad, Pharaoh summons Aaron and Moses, and Pharaoh entreats, really he pleads. But the Hebrew is very strong here. He doesn't just entreat. He does it with an imperative. He commands the Lord to remove the frogs. And you get the symbol that Egypt wants gods. And God, in his humor, says, "Okay, I'll give you lots of gods. Here are your frogs. Give them abundantly, so much so that they ask to take away frogs." Kind of a subtle picture going on there. Look at verse 9. And Moses said to Pharaoh, "Accept the honor of saying, when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only." So here in verse 9, Moses asked Pharaoh to give him a time. He said, "Okay, Pharaoh, give me a time. You want me to pray, and I'll go pray and relieve your pain." So he's kind of teasing Pharaoh in this case. "Give me a time." And he does that in order to just kind of rub it in that their magicians can do whatever, but here's your terrible pain. Tell me a time, I'll go do it. Look at verse 10. "So then tomorrow," he said, "tomorrow." And he said, "Let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord your God." So notice that. In 10, the Lord wants to make sure to rub that in, that I am God, there is no one like me. Verse 11, "And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only." Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs, which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, out of the fields. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stunk. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. Here we find in verses 12 through 15 that in the end, Pharaoh went back on his word, as he often does. And he did not let him go. This is, of course, a picture not only of the hardness of Pharaoh, but this is really a picture of mankind as our stubborn nature is well. So that when our pain of our sin gets really bad, we stop. But it's only temporary until that is relieved a little bit, and then we go back to that situation, and that's Pharaoh. He is a picture of sin incarnate as it dwells in all of us. We want to do what we do. Look at verses 16 through 17. Here we find the third plague, lice. So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand and with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. So maybe through this plague, this plague comes without warning, by the way. Moses does not go to Pharaoh at all. It just happens. It comes without warning. Maybe because Pharaoh went back on his word, and this is just a judgment, a further judgment upon that going back on his word. So these are biting insects, by the way. These lice here, they're biting insects, and they cover man and beast. So look what happens in verses 18 and 19. So as a result of all this, now the musicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. In this little plague, we have the magicians trying to work their magic again. But this is the case where they can't recreate the lice. This is something they cannot do. So they declare that this is the finger of God. They use the word Elohim, the all-powerful God, not Yahweh, the personal God of Israel. And so Pharaoh did not heed them. And so when it says he did not heed them, who is them? Well, the magicians. The magicians said, "Hey, we can't do it. This has got to be God." So we move to the fourth plague, the flies, in verse 20. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the river," or to the water. And the river is implied there. He's going out to pray to the river, to his goddesses of the river. "Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be.' And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh and unto his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies." Notice that. Now we have this fourth plague, and Moses is told to go before Pharaoh in the morning during Pharaoh's ritual walk to the river. And the picture here of Pharaoh refusing to yield to God really is strong. And the Lord used the Hebrews to rub in this case that God is God, the God of the Hebrews. in the fact that the flies attack everybody, or they bother everybody except for the Hebrews. And so this distinguishes, obviously, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrew, with their concept. So he isolates the Jews from the Egyptians, and it is as though God wants to make it perfectly clear that he alone can do this. Because who could separate the Jews from the Egyptians when it comes to the flies? Nobody. It's just a supernatural act. So the purpose is given here in verse 22. Why did he do this? He did this. In that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. What? Here's the purpose. In order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. So that's the purpose given. Now look at the result. The result in verse 25. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God if we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes. Then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. So notice in 25, Pharaoh complies. He again complies, and he says, go, sacrifice to your God in the land. But Pharaoh does not say, your land. He says, in the land. So the implication is that he wants them to not go to Canaan, like the Lord wanted them to do, but just to stay in the land and sacrifice in their land. That's not the deal. That's not what the Lord asked them to do. And so Moses protests in verses 26 and 27. And it's revealed here that the Egyptians do not tolerate sacrifices of animals in their land. They stone them. In verse 26, if you sacrifice, it's an abomination to the Egyptians, and they will stone us. They hold to the cow in a certain high esteem or order, and they won't tolerate that. But look at verse 28. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. So Pharaoh wants him to intercede for him. But in verse 29, then Moses said, indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore, and not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. In verse 29, Moses warns him, don't deal deceitfully with me. Because when you're talking with me, you're talking with the Lord, and the Lord gave you a command, and you should heed the word of the Lord. Don't go back on your word again. And of course, he's trying to keep his word. But look in verse 30. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained, but Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. So the character certainly continues to be the same. He's the same old scoundrel. And it's just amazing to me. This story is just amazing to me. That here is a Pharaoh who is all powerful in that land. He is the God King in that land. And that picture of Moses, who is a God to Pharaoh, in essence here, he is a small little guy from the Hebrews. And here is this God of the Hebrews. They're the slaves. And he is the all-powerful God, demonstrating his power to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's sleight-of-hand world of occult goddesses and gods. And clearly demonstrating power over all the elements of the land. Clearly demonstrating it. And Pharaoh, just as hard as can be, will not accept the truth of God. And that's a picture of the world. The world will not accept God at all. The world hates God. The world will not accept anything about the God of the Hebrews that's revealed here in our Bible, because of the hardness of the world. It just will not happen.